Hey, LifePoint family. Before we hear the message, Tammy and I wanted to let you know that today is a very special day in the life of our church. We're responding to God's faithfulness with gratitude through our year-end offering. This annual offering is something we look forward to with great anticipation as we give over and above our regular giving and bring a gift of sacrifice.
In this series, Faithfulness, our faith has been stirred as we have been reminded of all that God has done in our lives personally and collectively as a church. This offering is also a time to invest in the coming year, as we believe God to do more than we could ever ask or imagine, as He builds His church through our partnership. What a privilege.
That's right. Now more than ever, people need the hope of Jesus, and your generosity is making an eternal difference in our local communities, in our online community, and around the world through our outreach efforts. And no matter how you choose to participate, whether through a one-time gift today or a reoccurring gift, we want you to know that we're grateful for your partnership with this ministry.
So I want to jump right into this. Paul's writing a letter to the church in Corinth, and this is where we get 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. It's a town in Corinth. It's in southern modern-day Greece. If you're with me, say amen. Okay, so southern modern-day Greece, and he's talking about, he said, brothers, I want you to know about the Macedonian churches. And this is a group of churches that are in what is modern-day northern Greece, all right? And so he's visiting southern Greece, but he's letting them know about the generosity of these churches in northern Greece. I kind of think that there's a part of this that Paul is kind of spurring them on to go, hey, these churches are really going above and beyond in their giving. What are you going to do? Are y'all tracking with me? Okay, just relax, it's okay. And so he describes this, and he tells them what's going on, and he uses some comparison and contrasting in the grammar there. He says, hey, I want you to know that they were under the most severe trial. So life wasn't going the way that they wanted it to go. They were under persecution, they were dealing with a whole lot of things, but in relation to their severe trial, they had overflowing joy. And I want you to understand, we're gonna talk about this more in the new year, but joy isn't the result of your circumstances. Happiness may be the result of whether things are going your way or not going your way in life, but it is possible in God to have a joy that the saying goes, that is unspeakable and full of glory. That there is a joy that wells up from the inside of you, that whether life is going your way or not going your way, you're not tossed around by the winds of life. You have a sustaining joy that is on the inside of you that comes because the Spirit of God lives in you. This is why the Macedonian churches could be in severe trial but have the joy of the Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. That it is the joy of God that can actually strengthen you in the middle of severe trial, in the middle of life not going your way. I'm gonna teach that in 2024, so come back, all right? And so he compares and contrasts. Then the next compare and contrast is there's extreme poverty, but it welled up in rich generosity. And you're like, time out, Paul. How can you be impoverished but generous? Because many of us have bought into the lie that generosity is the result of status. That when I reach a financial status, then I can be a generous person. But these Macedonian churches understood that generosity is not a money issue, it's a mindset issue. And that you can be a generous person no matter the level of where you feel like your income is or your life is, whether it's where you want it to be or not. It is a mindset, it's a perspective, it's a spirit that is on the inside of you. And my prayer for you today is that you get this spirit inside of you of generosity, that you would live a generous life, that you would realize it's not about dollars and cents, it's about a spirit that lives on the inside of you that goes, I'm gonna be a generous person and live a generous life. It's a lens. It's how you look at life. And I'm concerned too many believers look at life through a scarcity mentality. Yeah. You look at life through a poverty mentality. And I'm not a prosperity on the other end teacher. Are y'all tracking? I've been accused of a lot of things, and that includes one. But I don't believe if you give God a dollar, he'll shoot 10 back at you. I don't think that's biblical. But I do believe God is a God that wants to bless you. And I do believe that God doesn't want you living small-minded. And I do believe that God doesn't want you living in a scarce mentality, that you'll never have enough, and that you got to save and you got to scrimp because all you have is all you'll ever have. And so you never live with open hands because you got to stay clenched tight on what you do have because it could get away from you. Instead of going, no, he who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills is able to make all things abound in my life so that I'm able to be generous in every occasion. That God does want me blessed. And if I could break something off of you, is God does want you blessed. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. God wants you blessed. There's a reason he wants you blessed. I'm gonna show you that. But he wants you to be blessed. He wants good things to come into your life. If what with us being earthly fathers, the author of Luke said, the doctor Luke said, if us being earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does our heavenly Father? If they ask for a piece of bread, would we give them a stone? And if we wouldn't do that, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give to his children? That God is a God that wants to bless. You've got to get that settled in your heart and in your mind. If not, you'll forever live with a scarcity mentality instead of a blessing mentality. And the blessing mentality says this, is that God's been given more to me than I need so that I can be a blessing to those around me. Some of you are like, well, no, there's some other wants. I didn't say God's given more than you want. I said God's given you more than you need to be a blessing to those around you. Why do you have excess to be a blessing to those around you? Some of you are thinking, I don't have excess. You may not have excess for your wants, but you do have excess for your needs in a lot of occasions. And I would want to break you beyond a generosity being tied to dollars and cents and move you into, you have more joy than you need, so why don't you give that away? And you have more hope than you need, so why don't you give that away? And you have more words than you need, so why don't you give some of those away, speaking life. And God's blessed you so that you can what? Be a blessing. But a scarcity mentality is described in Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. This is in the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament prophet. And he's talking about the people of Israel. And he says this, you eat, but you never have enough. And you drink, but you never have your fill. And you put clothes on, but you're never warm. And you earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. In other words, it feels like it's always seeping out and that you never have enough. Because a scarcity mindset, the line is always moving. And this is the American mindset in a lot of cases, is that if only I could get to this point, then I would feel that whatever that feeling is, and then I would be a generous person, and then I would serve others, and then I would be a blessing. But up until I got to look out for me and watch out for me until I get to that point, and what happens? You get that job, you get that raise, you finally purchase that home, and then it's what? Oh, it's actually, this is the line. So I eat, but I never have enough. And I earn wages, but it just feels like it's going in a purse with holes in it. Are y'all tracking me? This is what Haggai is saying, is that you have a scarcity mentality, and so the line continues to move. So no matter how much God blesses you, it's never enough for you to start being a blessing. Because if God blesses you, then the line moves, and he needs to bless you more, but then the line moves. And so there's never a moment, but when you live with a blessing mentality, you realize that everything I have is a good and perfect gift from my Father above, and I'm to live with open hands, to be a blessing. And when you live with a scarcity mentality, you don't get the joy of advancing the kingdom of God. You don't get the joy of generosity when you see that your giving made a difference in the lives of someone else. You don't get to live with the lens of others first, me tenth. Not even second. But you live with an others first mentality. How can I be a blessing to others first? How can I let someone in line me first? I'm talking about generosity down to the granular level. No, you go ahead and get in the checkout line first. I'm good. Are you tracking with me? No, let me pray for the coffee behind me. No, go ahead. No, you come on over in traffic. I just said something there. Some of y'all want to go back to offering. Don't talk about how I behave on 95. I'm talking about generosity of spirit. I'm talking about generosity that makes it into how I interact with my spouse. Talking about generosity that makes its way into my home. Talking about generosity that makes its way into when no one is looking and no one is around. But I got a generous spirit. I got a generous spirit. Deuteronomy 28:8 says this. It says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns. Now you get that this is an agricultural, and so that's the metaphors they would understand. And on everything you put your hand to, the Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. God is a God that wants to bless. But I want to tell you who he blesses. Because God doesn't bless everyone. Some of you are like, wait, I thought God wanted to bless everyone. Well, he does want to, but who gets it, it depends. And Paul tells us in another section in Corinthians, listen to this, in 2 Corinthians now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 11 will be on the screen. It says, each one of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. And that's what I've been saying for weeks, is pray about this, prepare. Don't just come in and in a moment make an emotional, no, predetermine in your heart. Don't wait for some video or someone to twist your arm. Be a predetermined giver. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, not because someone manipulated you. And God is able to bless you abundantly. So that, listen to this, in all things at all times, having all that you need, so you got all you need, you will abound in every good work. Why does God want to bless you? Not just so you can be blessed. The blessing of God isn't just so you can be like, look how God has blessed me. No, he's saying, I want you to have resources so that in all things at all times, you can abound in good works, so that you can be generous to those around you. He says, as it is written, they have freely scattered gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Here's what that text is saying, is that those who are generous, their life leaves a legacy. Their righteousness endures forever. Their difference-making leaves a legacy in the lives of others, those who are generous. And then what does it go on to say? Here's who he gives it to. Listen, now he who gives seed to the... Come on, say it again. He who gives seed, every campus, Richmond, say it out loud. He who gives seed to the...
sower.
That's who God blesses. Who? He blesses sowers. He gives seed to who? Listen to me. Get this, look at me. I want you to get this revelation. Give it some other church. I really don't care. I want you to get this revelation. God does not give seed to keepers. He gives seed to sowers. God will not put seed in a hand that clenches it closed, because he does not give seed to keepers. God is looking for people in the kingdom of God that will say, make me a funnel of your blessing. Whatever comes into me, I will make sure it flows through me and doesn't stop with me. And some of us are looking around going, God, as soon as you bless me, I'll be generous. No, no, no. The harvest never comes first. Seed always comes first. Some of you are waiting on the harvest to be generous, and that's not how it works. It doesn't even work that way naturally in agriculture. Seed always comes first. And so God says, you give seed to sower, then you'll reap a harvest, so you have more seed. Why? To keep it? No, God wants you to be blessed, and God wants you to be taken care of. But he wants some of that seed to go back out. And here's what is so sad, is many of us in the kingdom of God, we're eating the seed that could be feeding us. The seed that could produce the harvest, that could be feeding us and many people around us, we just eat the seed. God gives us, we just eat it. We wonder why we're paycheck to paycheck. Can I be honest? I didn't mean to get all up in your business like this today. I just want you to get this revelation. It's transformed my life. God gives seed to sowers. There's a few types of sowers. There's spontaneous sowers that you see a need and you meet it. Something moves in your heart. That's a wonderful way of giving. There's strategic giving. That's where you predetermine, you plan it. It's a part of who you are. That's when this becomes a spirit of generosity. It's a line item in your budget, everybody. You follow me? You're strategic about it. The Bible calls this the tithe. It's simply a mathematical term that means 10%. And if this isn't your home church, give it somewhere else. We're good. Like, God's blessed us. Your giving will accelerate vision, but I don't preach this from need, thank God. The Bible says in Leviticus 30, it says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees. Obviously, they're agriculture. That's how they gain every bit of wages that came in. It says, belongs to the Lord, and it's holy to the Lord. So the tithe is, it belongs to God, it's holy to God. I don't know about you, I don't want to put my hands on things that belong to God. And so God says, return that. That's why you hear us say, if you came prepared to return your tithe or give an offering, you can't give an offering until you tithed. And you can't give a tithe, you have to return it. Because the Bible said it belongs to God and it's holy to him. It'd be like this, if you came and borrowed my car and it's like, hey, can I borrow your car? I'd be like, great. And you brought it back, full tank of gas and washed, because that's what people that borrow cars do. And you were to say, Pastor, I've just been praying about it, and I'm going to give you this car. I'd be like, have you lost your mind? You can't give me what belongs to me. You can't give God a tithe. It's already his. You can only return it to him. And then after a tithe, you can give an offering. Are you following me? Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says this. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the, everybody shout that word, with the what?
First.
Come on, everybody say it, with the what?
First.
With the first fruits of all your crops. So the tithe is tenth, it's holy, it belongs to God, and it's a certain order, it's the first. It's not the bottom, it's the top. It's not after I've done it, it's not after, you know, J.P. Morgan got theirs, and Chevy got theirs, and it's the top. Are you following? That's why, personally, we text to give, because I don't want to wait for Sunday. I don't even want to wait for PNC to get my mortgage payment out first. I'm not saying this should be put on you. I'm not even saying this is God. I'm just saying for me, I want it out first, before Chick-fil-A, before Starbucks. I want it out first. You know what, really, I think one of the reasons God put the tithe in, the number 10 is a number of testing all throughout Scripture. 10 plagues tested Pharaoh, 10 commandments testing the obedience of Israel. The 10th is a test of our heart. It's a test of trust. God, do I trust that what you've said, that if I'll give the 10, you'll bless the rest, and that my 90% will go farther blessed than 100% without your blessing? You know what else the tithe does? Is it makes sure our heart's attached to God and not to our money. That our money doesn't begin to own us. I think God knew how quickly our stuff would begin to own our heart. Maybe that's why Matthew wrote these words, that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. It's a test. I've heard people say, well, Pastor, that's just Old Testament law. Well, Jesus told us the tithe. I don't think he's Old Testament law. Paul wrote that you should give according to the grace that's been given to you. So if you want to do that, I'm not there at that level, but you can. The grace that's been given to you, by the way, is 100% of your sins have been forgiven. So if you want to give according to the grace that's been given to you, then, and you can do 100% of your income, God bless you. Go for it. I ain't at that level yet. I think the tithe is the training wheels of generosity. It's not the pinnacle, it's the training wheels. It gets something in your spirit. It gets seed in your hand. And as you release the seed, God can put more seed in your hand. He gives seed to who? To sowers, to sowers. The last type of giving is what many of you will do. And some of you today, you're gonna begin with sacrificial or strategic giving. You're gonna begin, today's your first time tithing, and many people have done that, and they've taken the journey. They've given it a year. As we always say, go all in for a year and see what God does. Some of you will begin today. You're regular in your tithe, and today will be a day of sacrificial giving. And it's what the Corinthian church did. I want to read the rest of this. Verse 3 and 4. I don't want to put them on. Verse 3, listen to this. He says, now brothers, you know, he goes through that, and he says, extreme poverty, risk, generosity. Listen to verse 3. He says, for I testify. Paul's like, I was just with the Macedonians. I was just in northern Greece. And I testify that they gave as much as they were able. And then he says this, and even beyond their ability. So they didn't just go with what they thought they could do. They stretched to a level of sacrifice. And then he says this, which is what every pastor prays for, but I don't think any have ever had. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. This is what that means, that they literally, like Paul, For the love of God, please take up an offering. We want an offering. We want a... The Bible says they urgently pleaded with us for the opportunity to be a part of this giving. Why? Because they knew it would minister to people and make a difference in the churches. They gave what they were able, and then they stretched beyond that. That's called sacrifice. And here's the beautiful thing about sacrifice. Listen to me. Is that although the gift may not be equal, in the kingdom of God, the sacrifice has equal value. The Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus was watching people giving one day. How would you like that? How would you like at your campus that Jesus is standing in at the door watching the buckets? It's literally what he was doing. He was just kind of standing there, staring, watching. It's like, that's all you gave? I know how much you make. I'm Jesus. I don't know what's going through his mind. I just kind of make it up in my mind. The Bible doesn't say that, by the way. If you're new to Scripture and you're like, what? The Bible, I'm just making it up in my mind. But what it does say is that a widow came by and she gave a widow's mite. And he said it was all she had. And Jesus called what she gave the greatest gift. It's because sacrifice is a thing of the heart. And that Jesus could see her heart, even though other people walked through and people could see the size of their gift, Jesus was looking at the size of the heart, because sacrifice is about heart. The Macedonians, it wasn't that they were wealthy people, they were extremely impoverished. So why would Paul go to the Corinthian church and rave about them? I don't think it had anything to do with the size of the offering. They didn't have much to offer. I think what Paul was so excited about was the size of their heart. And today is about the heart. It's about a mindset. It's not about dollars and cents. It'll be expressed through generosity. But at the core of it, it's about our heart. And it's about God using us collectively to make a difference in the lives of others so that they will bring glory to God. And that's why the church was put here. The world doesn't exist for the church. The church exists for the world. I want to show you one more verse. You with me? Say amen. Deuteronomy 21:17. I'll explain this to you. It'll seem a little bit odd. He must acknowledge the son, the firstborn, by giving him a double share of all he has. That son is the first sign of his father's strength. The right of the firstborn belongs to him. Let me explain this to you real quick. So in the Old Testament culture, the firstborn son got a double portion of the inheritance, and it wasn't favoritism. It wasn't, oh, you were born first and you lucked out, so you got, no. The firstborn son, in the event of the father's death, had a responsibility to care for the rest of the family. And so the father would make sure he got a double portion of inheritance so that he was financially able to care for the family. And the Bible says that double portion on the firstborn son was the first sign of the father's strength. So although the father was no longer physically present, they could feel the effects of the father through the firstborn son. Are y'all following me? I want to show you what Hebrews calls us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. If your name is written in heaven, you are a part of the church, and the Bible calls us the church of the firstborn. And so what does that mean? That means that although the Father is no longer physically present, His presence is felt in the earth through His church, who are to show the first sign of strength of the Father to the world around us. So although the Father is in heaven right now, seated in His throne as He deserves, the church is here on the earth. And every time that we open up a winter wonderland, we're showing the strength of the Father into the life of people that are in need. And every time we serve a meal, we're showing the strength of the Father to those who are in need. And every time that we rescue somebody from human trafficking, we're showing the strength of the Father to somebody that is in need. And the Bible says that God will give seed to the sower so that in all times, in all occasions, we can be generous. Why? So that glory will come to the Father. And so today, that's what we're doing. We're showing the strength of the Father through the firstborn. You're the firstborn. You're the church of the firstborn. And as you give, and as this giving goes out beyond the walls of this church, the strength of the Father, who although may not be physically present, His strength is being felt through His kids here on the earth until He returns to take us all to heaven. So today isn't dollars and cents. It's a mindset. It's a perspective. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that goes, I've been blessed to be a blessing. And I've been blessed to show the strength of the Father to the world around us. Will you stand with me at every location? If you're a part of our online family, we're so glad you're with us today. In all of our campuses, we're going to be making our way forward to giving containers and giving our offering today. But if you're in the online family, and so many of you online are so generous and faithful in your giving, and I want to invite you to be a part of this moment, you can do that right there online. But if you're in one of our rooms, in just a moment, the team is going to lead us. And as we worship through singing and through our giving today, then as you're ready, you can make your way forward and bring your offering. And when you're done giving your offering, if you would make your way back to your seat, because I want to just pray a prayer of blessing over you as you've given today. One year I forgot to say that, and people gave and then left. I was like, well, I guess service is over. God, may the Lord bless you and keep you out in the parking lot. So make sure you return to your seat. We'll pray together, and then Tammy and I will dismiss you. Let's pray together right now. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of giving today. Give us a spirit of generosity, a mindset of generosity, a heart that says, I've been blessed to be a blessing. And may this offering, as it impacts lives, bring glory to God. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. every kiss. And all my life, so good, with every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hold your hands out like this, like you're receiving a gift. Father, we just thank you for the joy of giving today. Thank you that we're in a house where we don't have to, we get to. We get to be a blessing, that we get to live big-hearted, big-spirited, big-minded, that this isn't a house of scarcity. It's not a house of small-mindedness, but it's a loving large, giving large kind of spirit. So I just pray a blessing over every giver today. I pray, God, that from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, they sense your presence and your pleasure in this moment. I pray, God, you bless their coming and their going. I pray, God, that in the year ahead, you open doors that no man could have opened, that only God could do it. I pray you make their path straight where there are crooked areas. God, I pray you favor them, that they would know the blessing of God. I pray that they would be keenly aware of the moments where they did all they could do, but you put your hand in their back and you pushed them beyond their own ability. May you meet them in supernatural ways in the year ahead. May you respond to this act of faith, as we know you will, with faithfulness. Because you cannot deny your own character. We love you. Use this offering. May hundreds of thousands of people come to faith in Christ because of it. And may glory be brought to God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen, amen. So glad you're in church today. If you're visiting for the first time, do want to say at your campus, stop by the Next Steps environment and drop off that card. We'd love to connect with you. We're 2 weeks away from Christmas, everybody, the LifePoint Christmas experience. Now, hang on, look at me real quick. The best in 18 years. 18. We're 19 next year. This is 8. It's always a year behind. I'm telling you, the team, what they put together, you don't want to miss it. Make sure you come to the service that works for the person you're inviting. I'm telling you, the thing that'll make Christmas the best is to have someone sitting beside you that's far from God and to see Jesus touch their life. So make sure you invite somebody. Use those invite cards. If you came prepared to do your regular tithe and offering, to return the tithe and give an offering, you can do that at the door or however you do that digitally. We love you so much. Have a wonderful week. Be blessed in everything you do. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.